Hallelujah. Wow. Some of you might have saw me chuckle there just to... I was debating a little bit exactly what the message was this morning. You know, I'm always doing my best to try and follow him. I really am, but you could... Boy, it's so easy to go off three or four different directions. So he just gave me the title. It's called Mankind, the Sequel. Yeah, it's the sequel. Do you know that's what the gospel is? If you don't know it, you're going to find out in the next hour here. I've been going through some really good meditation times lately. And I find that when it's time to teach, especially to groups like we have here now, what I have to do now is... to deliver what he wants to deliver in an hour, I have to teach in what I call macro mode. Macro instead of micro. I like micro. Micro is where you get into each verse and you find the Greek definitions and then you find the Greek of the Greek. And was that koine or classical? How was it used in the culture? And here's the culture. And I like all of that, but you don't get very far in one service doing the micro way. And what he's kind of doing now, because of the foundation that's been laid for these many years, he's really drawing a lot of those micros together into a what I call a macro. Now, that's where you paint with a broad stroke, and we're going to get an entire picture, I think. What happens then is you start getting roof questions, and I hope your walls are sufficient. And if you've been a good student here, they are. So open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at a real familiar verse, and we're going to look at it in the light of, well, you could also, I guess, put a marker or pinch together over Romans 12. Everything I'm doing right now has got to do with metamorphosis, because that's really what Romans 12 is. Romans 12, too, for years was, I somewhat understood it and I somewhat misunderstood it because, you know, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And because it uses that phrase, by the renewing of your mind, and that translated to knowledge to me, and it's not wrong to get knowledge. We're admonished all through the New Testament to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God and to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. But somehow in my mind, I thought one of these days I'm going to keep getting knowledge and I'm just going to graduate and I'll move the tassel from one side of the cap to the other side of the cap, and I have now graduated as a son of God. But see, that word, be you transformed, God could have chosen any word that he wanted there. But he chose the word, he could have chosen a word that implied graduation day. If that's the thought he wanted to convey. But he didn't use a word that conveyed graduation day. He used a word, it's where we get the Greek, it's the Greek word metamorpho, it's where we get our word metamorphosis. And it's such a difficult word to really define that every dictionary I have looked it up in at some point refers to the caterpillar and the butterfly trying to convey the true image of what that word means. It's more than graduation day. It's more than knowledge. I'm going to follow him precisely now. So it's more than a lollipop Christian. It's not, you know, Dave had that vision years ago of lollipop Christians and head full of knowledge, you know, like the big old round lollipop on top and a little skinny starved to death spirit. Well, I think that has too precisely defined Gary. And that's not really what the picture is. Metamorphosis is where you take that little caterpillar that it can only crawl on the ground. Now get this. Caterpillar is confined to the ground. He goes through such a change that, I mean, it's more than knowledge, honey. It's a change in every fiber of its being. And when it emerges, it's not confined to earthly things anymore. Could have a running fit right there. Now, that's the transformation that he's talking about. Knowledge is involved. Again, I've used the analogy again of there's a difference between a teacher and a trainer. We've been taught and taught and taught by the Holy Ghost and also by men who were taught by the Holy Ghost. Is that fair enough? And that's good. That's good. We have, you know, you take football, okay? There's a teaching time. You've got to learn the plays. You've got to learn, you know, they draw the X's and the O's, and this is this play, and this is that play, and this is that play. That's not sufficient to produce a football player. You have to get that same football player that maybe came in eating like my favorite diet, chicken and donuts. I'm teasing a little bit. And you got to transform that blubbery thing. You got to get him out on the field. He's got to start doing laps. Honey, he's going to sweat. And that's the transformation we're entered into now. The Holy Spirit is going to start applying all this knowledge, and he's going to say, no, you forgive. I mean, really forgive. Don't teach it anymore. Do it. Now, I don't want you to have a nice theory of giving. Are you a giver? Are you supporting where you go to church, or are you not? You putting your money where your mouth is? How about you putting your money where your attendance is? Oh, God. I thought we were through with Wednesday night. But it's a transformation on that level. He's making us into sons of God. I mean, transformed into that same image, 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we no longer, well, Romans 12:2, no longer be conformed to the world, but that we be transformed, this metamorphosized, not just intellectually. But see, your heart's got to change. Your value systems have got to change. That's why the Pharisees couldn't understand why Jesus was out amongst the sinners. They go, look at this man. Look at this guy. The religious people of the day. He's eating and drinking with those vile, no goods. How does Dave say it? Swine-eating Gentiles? Well, it was Jews at that moment, so they weren't swine-eating. I'm sorry. He was out amongst the sinners anyway. Okay, he was within the Jews, okay, but he's out amongst the sinners. And they're going, we don't understand this. Why in the world would he waste his time on them? Their value system was completely wrong. That's why Jesus started talking to them the way he did. He said, look, if you lost a sheep, you'd be out looking for that sheep. Why? Well, it's valuable to you. If you lost a coin, you'd be moving the furniture, calling your friends, looking until you found that coin. Why? Because it's valuable to you. He says, you don't know your heavenly Father at all. I'm out amongst these sinners because these sinners is what's valuable to our Father, Father God. You know, macro today, God, probably won't even touch these. But macro today, why in the world did God need Mary? Why did God make a covenant with Abraham in the first place? It's pretty obvious God can make man on his own. Didn't he make the first one? You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now let's just stop right there. The whole human race was dead, dead as a doornail. And had been for generations. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. The whole generation was lost. No hope of salvation. You know, it could have been real easy for God to say, okay, that's it. We'll have the... I promised I wouldn't destroy it. You know, remember the vision that I had at the cross? The whole... God judged all the species of Adam dead. Well, they were dead in their spirit before the cross. You know, and God could have said, that's it. I'm going to fire and brimstone this whole place. I'm going to start over. Where's me some dust? I'm going to make me another man. We're going to start all over again. Could not God have done that? But see, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. What world? That that fallen world with all of those sinners in it, every single one of them born dead, dead in their spirit. God didn't want to just reject the sons of Adam. God wanted to save the sons of Adam. He didn't want to just eliminate that whole bunch. And it's eternity in hell for all of you. He says, now I'm going to save as many as can possibly be saved. That's why he had to search and find someone he could make a covenant with. Because God intended to find a way for himself to come into that dead species, swallow up their death and their sin into himself, then be regenerated in his son to be the firstborn of a new species, but it's a species resurrected from the old species. Can I say it that way? We're macroing. And this is why he had to make a covenant with a man, Abraham, that one day God could visit a genetic, physical descendant named Mary. And God could join with the human species. To meditate this, I've actually had to get into the encyclopedias and start looking at chromosomes again, and XY, and what comes from the man, what comes from the woman. Not really ready to teach at length on that yet, but I'm telling you, it's going to be good stuff. Why didn't God just eliminate that first bunch? Here, let me find some dust, I'll make a new man. No, he had to make a covenant so that he could enter through the gate. And that gate is humanity. He had to be born of a woman. Born of a woman. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. God supplied the... Did you know the seed? One of our most famous verses, I did write that down. Galatians 3:19. You don't have to look it up. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Did you know what the Greek word seed is there? S-P-E-R-M-A. Sperma. It's where we get our word sperm. But he needed Mary. Why? So that Jesus could claim truthfully, he is the Son of God and he is the Son of Man. God had to make a covenant with Abraham that would one day allow him to join with a woman named Mary, the sperma and the egg, the sperma of God, the egg of a human, and combine, boy, now let's see, here we go, combine the DNAs, draw from each to produce a type of human that had never existed before, with the life of God in his spirit, yet clothed in fallen flesh. See, we have a verse that says, tempted in all points like as we are. There's lots of teaching out there that'll tell you Jesus had a unique body that was like Adam's. And that he did not have a body like ours. He was really the body like Adam's. If that's the case, then he was tempted in all points like Adam was. I don't know if you've noticed this. Your body is not like the one that Adam had. If we had bodies like the one Adam had, there'd be no flaws in the genetics. There'd be no birth defects. Now, the body you're wearing is much, much more prone to sin than the body Adam has before the fall. So if Jesus was not clothed in fallen flesh like us, then he was tempted in all points like Adam was. That's not what our Bible says. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. For 30 years, Jesus walked the earth without the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now, get the picture. So He's walking the earth, alive in his spirit to God. Now we're talking about his humanity, okay? Alive in his spirit to God, yet wearing fallen flesh, exactly the kind that you and I are wearing. Tempted in all points like we are, for 30 years, yet without sin. Now what does that tell us? Before the baptism in the Holy Ghost, what does that tell us? Pastor Dave is right. On the born again trail, he comes out of the chute with both guns blazing, and volume one, lesson one, you don't have to sin anymore. And Jesus proved it, because he walked sin free by the power of the new nature alone without the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now, he didn't do any miracles. He didn't do anything supernatural until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. That is the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. In Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. God who? God the Holy Ghost now. But he is already God made flesh dwelling among us. Isn't that something? 2 Corinthians 5. Are you still there? Well, the whole human race was dead. Look at it. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. They were already all dead. So John 3:16, when it says, when God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What world is he talking about? What people is he talking about there? He's talking about sinners. He's talking about the human race. God loved us. In fact, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why did God need a covenant with Abraham? Because love never fails. God wasn't willing to give up on the species of Adam. Even though they were totally lost, every single one of them, with no way back to God, no hope of salvation, no works, nothing they could do, absolutely nothing. And he says, I'm still not. You talk about love never coming to an end, love not failing. He says, I will make a way where there is no way. I will become a man myself, or my son. You know, God, this infinite God, there's only one God. You know, it says over and over again, there's one God. Yet this infinite God trying to reveal himself in a way that we can comprehend him. So he does it, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you know. This infinite God through his Son becomes man. And he is literally the Son of God, and he is the Son of man. By man came the fall, by man comes the resurrection. No wonder he says, you have to enter by the gate. Any that come any other way, they're thieves and robbers. It had to be someone that came through the gate of the birth canal. He had to be born a human. He had to be born into this species, yet he could not have the spiritual death of Adam. That's why it was a union between God, the sperma, and Mary, the egg, and the combination of the two produced the unique Jesus Christ that we see walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But see, at the end of his walk there, what he did then, he became, on the cross, he became the snake. He became sin. Even in his spirit, he allowed that death. You talk about identification with us. He allowed that sin death. He became the serpent that swallowed up sin into himself. Why? So all the judgment for the entire human race, all of the judgment, every murder, every rape, every theft, everything through history, he bore the judgment of it all. That's why it says all judgment has been turned over to the Son. Father judges no man. Why? Because he's the one that bore the judgment. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hello, sons of God. But see, now we're born. We're born in our spirit. I'm trying with all I know how to get to this verse. He is a new creature. It's in this chapter. I'm trying to get there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Boy, you are. You are now. Let's see now. Once you get born again, let's see now. Where is your life? Where's your spiritual life from now? Oh, you have the life of God. Let's see. What about your flesh? Oh, God. It's still fallen. Sounds like somebody I've read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Life of God on the inside. Wearing fallen flesh on the outside. The difference between him and his walk and your walk is Romans 12:2. We can be conformed either to the world or to the image of Christ. But it takes a renewing of the mind. And now that renewing, we're finding out. See, that is your mind is the knowledge gate. We have an eye gate, an ear gate. All of that is input, but really your mind is the knowledge gate. It's where you process all information. You process it through the mind. But the mind, through the mind, comes transformation to your heart. I'll tell you right now, I double dog dare you. Do y'all understand that? Double dog dare you? I double dog dare you to go to South Africa, walk through the squatter camps, stay there a little while, play with some of the children. They were fascinated with the camera that I had, because I could turn the little screen around and flip it out, the little screen, and flip it out where they could see themselves. The stench. See, I can bring you back pictures, some that's been there shaking their head. The one thing you can't bring back is the stench. Unless you're made of stone, you can't stay the same. Your heart will never be the same again once you've been there. But the Holy Ghost is changing. It's through the knowledge gate. It's through the mind, all right. But it's not just a renewing of the mind. It's a renewing of your value systems. What's important to you, what's not important to you. He's in the process right now of making me love sinners. Well, more than I have. I mean, really. This last trip to Immokalee, he'd get me up and have me drive through the town at night when the bad stuff is going on. I'd see them out there. I know they're selling drugs on that corner. I'd be praying for them. My heart would be different. My heart's different than it used to be. When God, I make intercession for that man. I know he's destroying lives. Drug dealers had a horrible impact on my own family. Lost my sister because of them. And so it's taken a long time for him to turn my heart towards drug dealers. But now it's starting to happen. What kind of creature is he making me into? Because there's a big part of me wants him to burn. But now I'm finding there's a part of me wants to lay down my life for him. Well, it's a metamorphosis. It's a change that's happening. And it's got to happen more than it has up till now. Okay, so verse 15. Let me read verse 14 again. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, that's us, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is where I have to part company with a lot of preaching that I hear on TV. Because they make the gospel where Jesus becomes your servant to help you have a wonderful life. Well, I'm not against you having a nice life, But the purpose of the gospel is not so God can help you with your kingdom. The purpose is so to make transform us so we can help him with his kingdom. Let me phrase it a little different. He's really trying to get us where he can work through us. Not, he doesn't really need our help so much. He needs our availability. I like how Michael said it that day. Michael Muccio, my spiritual father, is having lunch with him. He says, my prayers have changed from where they used to be. He says, I don't really ask God, you know, for your... He said, God, I don't really want your help today. Really, I don't. I don't want you to help me today. Help me become a... Unless it's like this. Help me become a vessel through which you can help others today. You just do it all, Father. I don't want you to help me. I want you to do it all. And I want you to do it through me. It takes a while to get that heart, doesn't it? It takes a while. You got to be cocooned in prayer, cocooned in fasting, cocooned in His Word. You got to be incubated by the Holy Spirit. You're going to come out something not bound to this world. You come out with something that can fly. Well, that we which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And I did a study on that at Calling in the Lost, I think, last Sunday. You're not in the flesh. And what that really means is simply you're not of the species of Adam anymore. We can't trace you back to Adam. No, your generation only goes back one. Jesus is your Adam. So we don't know you after the flesh anymore. Because, verse 17, now you are a new creature. You're not a child of Adam anymore. You're a child of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're part of this new species. And what God is doing, he's taken, going back to that vision of at the cross again, where I saw the whole human race, past, present, and future, all the sons of Adam and daughters. You all know, I mean, the whole bunch. And what he's doing, he's instead of just wiping the slate clean with them, he's going through now, Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, he's going through and he's one by one by one, as many as he possibly can, getting the gospel to them so their spirit can be quickened from death to life. And he's got a new creature here and a new creature there and a new creature over there. Rather than rejecting and doing away with the sons of Adam, he's doing all that he can to save the sons of Adam. But he does it by regenerating them, bringing them over into a new family, which is the family of God. Now we know no, if you're in that species, we don't know any man after the flesh anymore. You are a child of the living God. Man. No wonder it says, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Well, if you've died, if you were dead, you know they don't really keep dead men in cells in prison. By now they stinketh, right? I mean, it's all past. It's all been done. You've already, the price has been paid. In fact, you were actually in Christ penalized to the. Did you know you got the death penalty? Was I that bad? Well, yeah. The whole species, really. We've all already had the death penalty. Well, why then are we still hanging on to all of the soulless things that we remember from that life? I'm finally understanding why God says he not only forgives our iniquities, he forgets them. Well, that man died. That man died, see? And if you commit more after you've been born again, which nobody ever does. Thank you. How many are thankful for his blood on the mercy seat? You're not going to take 1 John 1:9 away from me, I'm telling you right now. It's ever there to cleanse us, not only forgive us, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the 17 again, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, what is that ministry? God was in Christ. God became a man, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, how did he not impute it? He imputed them to himself. Love never fails. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've walked away from God more than once in my life. On one tape, I said two times. I listened to another of my tapes, I said three times. I don't know how many times. I just know I walked away from him several times. And if I'd have been God, I'd have said, that's it for Gary. That's it. See, because at this point, my love still comes to an end. You know, I'm in the process of metamorphosing myself. I would have given up on me after two or three times. God's never done anything bad to me. He's always been good to me. God has. Well, when Jesus said there's only one good, and that's God, I believe that. God's always been good to Gary. But I walked away from him two or three times, and I had made my mind up. I was never going to darken the door of a church again. Never. And I am a stubborn cuss, and God knows that. He knew. He looked on my heart and said, that boy is not going back to church. So the way I see it, God looked down through eternity. And that heart of God, that loving, big heart, looked at this Gary that had walked away from him several times, looked down through eternity, and he made a decision. I'm not willing to go through eternity without Gary. Let me see if I can find a guerrilla fighter. Someone who's willing to cross over into enemy territory. See if I can find someone who, since Gary won't come back to church, I'm going to send the church after Gary. And he handpicked somebody that he knew that I was a fan of Zig Ziglar's. I was. I knew who Zig was. See, God is so smart. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He didn't send somebody distributing Mary Kay. Now, God's smarter than that. I mean, Mary Kay would work for somebody, but it wouldn't have worked for me. But he knew Zig Ziglar was good. See, God's a good fisherman, and good fishermen use good bait. He knew Zig Ziglar to Gary would be good bait. I didn't find out till this week it was Zig Ziglar that led Michael Muccio to the Lord. I didn't know that. If I'd ever heard it, I'd forgot it. Well, anyway, God's looking down through eternity. That big heart of his, that love of his. I'm not going to do without Gary. I'm going to give him another chance. And since Michael Muccio cross over into the business world, since I won't come into the church world, sends a guerrilla fighter and gets me again. Took him about 6 months. Got me again, and this time I got something I never had before, though. See, I do thank God for the new nature. But you know, my Bible says there's something God will give you that will also help you. In fact, he's called a helper. This time I got something I never got before at those churches. This time I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I have found it makes quite a difference. Having the Holy Ghost has made a big difference. I mean, 31 years now, 31 years. Not burning out, I'm burning in. I'm more excited today than I was then. Now my body's trying to mess up on me, but we take authority over that too. Amen. My mama, who's 90 now, I'll complain about something, you know. Oh, I'm 64. She says, oh, be quiet. I remember 64. 64 is great. What's wrong with you? Oh, depends on your perspective, see? She said, at 64, me and your dad was climbing all over the mountains of Alaska. I was going, okay. You don't argue with mama. You may argue with God. You don't argue with mama, I'll tell you that. Mankind, the sequel. That's really what this is. It is mankind, the sequel. He has given us a different Adam. You know, it talks about the first man, Adam. Then it talks about the second man. See, God's really only made two men. First man, Adam. And then the last Adam, Jesus Christ. But this mankind, the sequel, is still generated from the first man, Adam's seed. Because what he's done, he's using those dead spirits. Those are that's the raw material that is populating heaven now. Because he's moving through all the dead spirits of Adam, all the dead seed, and he's, through the gospel, regenerating those dead spirits from death to life. And that's called the new birth. But he's populating heaven with this new species. He so loves the fallen race of man. Can I say it that way? I don't like to use the word race. I like the word species better. Mankind, the sequel. Now this one is going to come to an end. You know, why haven't we already entered into the millennium? Why hasn't the rapture come? Why hasn't the second coming happened? Peter and James both tell you, well, God's waiting on something. What is he waiting on? It's the precious fruit of the earth. Now, this brings us to the prayer center. I thank God for everybody that's been saved down through the years. I thank, through the centuries, through these 2,000 years, I thank God for every person that's been saved. I thank God. I thank God for every person that's been able to receive healing and miracles from God. Aren't you happy about that? But we've got roughly 7 billion people, between 6 and 7 billion, I think it is now, maybe more, on planet Earth. Percentage-wise, the Christians is very small. And percentage-wise of that, I hope you don't send me too many letters, the remnant that are born again, not Christian in name only, his percentage is very small. Now, what do you think, knowing the heart of God? What's on his mind? Revival. Especially in this day of mass media, where what I preach this morning can be heard in Zimbabwe tonight. I read, you know that letter that I read to you, that dream that I read to you Wednesday night? Saying, I wasn't here Wednesday night. It's online. Tell you how fast things move, you know. We had company, and I didn't remember to let her know until yesterday. Hey, I read your letter during a service. She said, I know, I've already seen it on YouTube. They live in Florida. That's the kind of world we live in. Now think about the potential of revival. You talk about the heart of God. No wonder he's gathered together this little ragtag bunch here. Not many mighty, not many noble. Little bunch that survived 10 metric tons of flesh and everything the devil can throw, including the kitchen sink. And he's going, can I get you to metamorphosis enough? Will you stay in the cocoon long enough? Will you let my spirit have his way long enough to where you can go far enough into me to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city? Because if we do, and I mean it's the kind that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where he heals them all, We've been through those verses many times. And it can be seen worldwide. How? No wonder God said through Pastor years ago, the day is coming where He is going to merge ministry with media. That takes wealth, my brothers and sisters. Ministry with media. How much of a harvest could be harvested worldwide if we will allow the Holy Spirit to finish this metamorphosizing, if that's the right word, metamorphosis process? See, the sad part is it's not up to God whether we make it. He's done everything He can, given us the best teaching. It's not like we don't know how. It's not like we don't know what to do. It's not up to God. I kind of wish my prayer life was. You know, I found out about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't get tired. You know, He's willing to pray as long as I'm willing to allow Him to. That's wonderful and scary all at the same time. That means my change. Let's take the rest of it. Fasting. God, make me fast and I will. Doesn't work that way. Kind of wish it did. Kind of wish it did. God, I could spend the next hour in Your Word or TV. Your choice. I got to quit preaching now. I can't stand up under my own preaching now. Ow! Ow! God, have mercy. Well, it's because He's serious about this. It's not really about... We're not about religion. We're not about how many hours you pray. We're not really about any of that. What we're about is change. See? That's why He's raised up this mankind, the sequel, is so He can put His heart in us for mankind, the first. That was real good right there. You ought to get that. If we can ever get His heart for mankind, the first, that lost ones that's there, the one that He so loves, that's the ones He so loves in John 3:16, you know, that whole dead species of Adam. He's trying to get His heart for them in us. Well, if He can do that, now that would be your drug dealers. See, we always go that direction, don't we? The drug dealers and the prostitutes and all of that. Just as lost at the other end of the spectrum are the bankers and the Wall Street people and the investors. And their God is mammon, but they're just as lost as the drug dealers. You know? But what if He can get us to cocoon ourselves and allow the metamorphosis to complete, where we do really become renewed in the spirit of our mind? Let that new man come from the inside to the outside, where the Holy Ghost can be poured out upon us almost without measure. Where everything we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John happens on a continual basis here. Where the vision that Dave saw years ago of the ambulances and the people bring in their blind and their lame and their halt and their... How about the little babies? I think about that little boy up in Ulaga. About 5-6 years old, didn't he? The one that was no fault of his own. Meningitis. Lost all four of his appendages. Both legs, both arms. What do you think Jesus, with the Spirit without measure, would do if He had that boy in His arms? We'd stand there and watch as those arms and legs grew out, and that little boy would be normal. Now you let that happen on worldwide TV, and you are in revival. You're going to have a harvest. People not only come to get healed, when they come to get healed, they go, "We want to hear about Your God." Ours is not the God straps bombs on people and blows people to hell. Our God is the one who died for those very people. It would have been better to stop Osama with the gospel than with a bullet. Now, he did have to be stopped. But God, if he would have had his way, he'd have taken Osama and made another Paul out of him. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's our message to the world. Christ died for you. He paid the price for your sins. You can receive him as your Savior and Lord. You don't have to be lost. Of course, they don't think they are lost. You gotta, we'll keep the Ten Commandments for a while and I'll be back. Anyway. So now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now this made the righteousness of God, positionally, that's already been done. He was made to be sin with our sin. We were made righteous with his righteousness as far as God's concerned. But we're not talking so much about the positional truth, accounted righteousness. God did something more for us than he could do for Abraham. What he could not do for Abraham was put a new nature in him. But he has in us. In the same way that Adam put a sin-generating spirit on the inside of you. And really he did from the fall. A sin-generating spirit that you try and overpower with your mind, but eventually what you are, you know, that sin's going to come back out. God, through his grace, as a free gift, he put a righteousness-generating spirit on the inside of you. It's desperately trying to get out. What I mean is come to the surface. Try and be free. Try and overpower. Yes, sir. See, here it's all these micros we've had now. I've seen, y'all remember servants upon horses? You know, Solomon in his wisdom and Ecclesiastes, he said, I've seen a horrible thing. This is terrible. I have seen servants riding upon horses and princes walking. That's a prophecy concerning the Christian, really the church era that we live in today. See, there is a prince born of God on the inside of each of us. It's called the new nature. It's called the spirit which is of God. It's the part of you that is birthed when you got born again, and that is the prince. That horse really represents your life. It's the direction you're going to go. That represents the flesh, basically. Which way you're going to go in life. God's design is for the prince, the new man, to be receiving instruction from him so he can apply the reins to the horse. But the tragedy is, see, the servant in that picture that's a type of the soul. That's the part of us that's got to be renewed. It's the part of us it includes the intellect, the will, the emotions, hurts from times past, old wounds, unforgiven things, stuff. That soul is supposed to be the servant of the prince. Solomon said, I see a terrible thing. The prince is supposed to be directing the horse. He's supposed to be the one riding. But I see servants upon horses and princes walking. That is exactly Romans 12:2. That is exactly Romans 12:2. As far as our walk goes, for the most part, and the way we act and the way we react, it's the soul of man, even born-again people, it's our soul, for the most part, making those decisions. And the spirit man's still with us. It's not like God's withdrawn him, but the prince, he's just walking along beside. Said, I should be up there. Yeah, but you're not. Well, how do you get him up there? Romans 12:2. By the renewing of the mind. It's spending time building. I mean, we could go back to all those micro teachings that Dave has given us. He says, now here's what happens. See, your spirit man, you know, he wants to rule. But your flesh, soul man, he's up here. And so you pray and you're building up your spirit man, but the flesh is still ruling. You fast, you start bringing down the spirit man, the flesh man, he's getting weaker. Ah, you know, there's this battle going on. And if you keep on, that's the cocooning process. If you keep on praying, building up the spirit, fasting, bringing down the flesh, and one day your spirit man will get up on that horse and yay, 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 today God loves me. Today we have miracles. Today we have answered prayer. And the flesh goes, bet me. Have y'all ever been in for the devil's second attack? I have a tape called When the Flesh Goes Wild you ought to listen to. It takes a while to subdue the flesh, and sometimes you got to subdue that rascal more than once. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't continue to do the things, don't ask me how I know this now. Don't ask me. If you don't continue to do that, you do live in a fallen world, and if you flow with that current very long, you're going to find yourself back in the river of the world again. Flowing the same way the river does, thinking the same way the world does. Got to swim upstream again. I wanted to have a nice 4th of July Independence Day message. After Wednesday, I don't know who did this, but God bless you, whoever it was. After Wednesday night's message, when was it, Saturday or Friday? I don't remember. There was someone stuck two scriptures on my door. I was almost afraid to look at them. I don't know whether they were angry or what, you know. But they were good ones. See, because Wednesday night I gave you that passage where Jesus, after he told him, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, said a lot of his disciples, now not people that weren't following him, people that were following him, now not the 12, but many of his disciples, they says, well, that's a hard word. Who can hear it? And many of his disciples turned back and followed him no more. So one of the verses was that one. But the other verse was out of John chapter 8, where it says, if you continue in my word, if you continue, you will be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you don't continue in his word, then you'll turn back, and you won't be a disciplined follower anymore. Well, if you survived Wednesday night, honey, if you came back for more after Wednesday night, even I got to admit, you are a disciplined follower. Either that or you're just slap crazy. Well, in this same passage, you know, this is verse 13, whether we be beside ourselves. People thought Paul was crazy. Shipwrecks, beatings, floggings, break all the bones in his feet with rods. What does he do? Get healed and go preach again. See, man must be crazy. Well, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it's for your cause. Whether we're crazy, whether we're not crazy, we're going to serve God and serve you. 64 years young. That's for mama. On the inside, I don't feel 64 at all. I feel like a young man. I feel like my whole ministry's ahead of me. I feel like I barely got started. And there's something on the inside of me that says, let's go cocoon. Let's get alone again. Let's get, what I mean is with the Holy Ghost. We're going to finish this thing. I thank God for the transformation that's happened up till this point. And there's been some. I know there's been some. But I still find too much of the world in my thinking, my value systems. I only know one answer for that. The metamorphosis process has got to finish. God's not going to do it for me. But he's sure given me all the tools whereby I can have it if I want it. Let's want it. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah.